Not luck.
Me too.
I don't believe in luck. Yeah. I believe this sister's got it planned out.
He has for a long time.
That it is. What a privilege we have tonight to be here in your very midst. Most of you wouldn't know me from a man on the street. Brother Jerry don't know me, really. Brother Larry, we're kind of acquainted a little bit. We're acquainted enough that we love one another in Christ Jesus. I love him dearly. Brother Wesley knows me. So if you have any questions, don't ask me, ask him. Because he won't lie to you, I'll tell you that right now. It's good to be here. I thank God for the privilege. You pray for us tonight. We've been praying for you. And we pray that the Lord will have a blessing in store for you. He's already he blessed me so much, I just can't hardly contain it. We've had a wonderful day visiting. And if you have your Bible, turn with me, if you desire to. To Psalms 85. Psalms 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. You know, that bothered me for a long time. When I was younger, you brought back the captivity of David and he's rejoicing. What does that mean? I later found out that it means he brought them back out of captivity. Therefore, they were rejoicing. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want to concentrate our attention tonight on verse 6. There are a lot of different ideas about revival meetings. I've never been in one of the great revival meetings. I understand they used to have them years and years ago. Some of the preachers from the United States would go to England and hold great meetings. Multitudes upon thousands would be converted in a few days. Of course, we don't know what happened to them the next week. That always bothered me. A fellow told me one time, said, it don't make any difference how high a fella jumps. It's what he does when he hits the ground. We had just had a young fella made a profession of faith. He was a guitar picker in a well-known band in Pasadena, Texas. And the fellows that converted him were guitar pickers. One of them was supposed to be a preacher. And they were jumping and hopping, and they talked about whenever this boy professed Christ, how they stopped the car and they got out and they were just hooping and hollering and jumping up and down in the middle of the street. They were so happy. That lasted nearly a week. Revival. To me, revival does not involve beating the bushes, showering the neighborhood with leaflets, advertising some great evangelist is going to be in our midst and we want you to come. If you don't know the Lord, listen to me, folks. I am not against folks coming and hearing the preaching of God's word and making professions of faith. That's what we do. That's what God called us to do. But the mass meetings that we hear about, the great campaigns, for the most part are foolishness. Revival to me involves nobody but God's people. And I believe, if I understand the passage of scriptures that we read, that's what's involved here. He's talking about God's people. He's not talking about all the Arabs and the Shearabs and all the others, you know, in that part of the world. He's talking about God's people. Now, we don't ever want to forget that anything we talk about, any subject we preach on, we must remember that God's will is the determining factor in everything. Especially in answer to prayer. Well, you know, folks have the idea that we get things because we pray fervently, we pray diligently, we pray for hours, and we get the mind of God. We get His attention, and He changes things for us. That's foolishness. You don't find anything like that taught in the Word of God. Oh, they teach it in the seminaries, and the Bible schools, and the Sunday schools, but they don't find it in the Bible. Romans chapter 9. And verse 15, for he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I'm reminded of a passage over in Matthew chapter 8. There was a leper, eat up with leprosy. And folks, there was no cure, and you know that. No cure for leprosy in those days, no medications, you know. This old leper boy, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ran up to him and he fell down and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't pray that down. He didn't tell the Lord if he would apply this and that medicine that he could be healed from his leprosy. He recognized that if he got any help at all, it was going to have to come from God in man, in person. No. Nobody else could help him. if thou wilt. I don't mind telling you, I'm a big fan of Arthur W. Pink. And any sovereign grace preacher that's worth his salt will tell you the same thing. And he said, I believe it was in The Sovereignty of God, we fail to trace anything to its original source until we track it right back to the sovereign will of God. Anything. If there is a revival among God's people, we'll have to track it right back to the sovereign will of God. Not because we were so faithful in praying, and we ought to be doing that, or any other reason. We've got to go right back to the will of God. Verse 6. Wilt thou not? These three words imply some things. And if you look at them and think about them, you'll not understand that it implies a fervency. Yeah. The psalmist was fervent in his question. It wasn't just something off the cuff. It was something about a desire that had been instilled in his heart. Will thou not? A greater desire for its accomplishment. You remember over in the Messianic Psalm 22, there the psalmist pens in verse 19, Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Fervency. I believe God's people today need a little more fervency. Some of us need a lot more. Wilt thou not? I believe it implies that he realizes that there's nothing in his request showing that he deserves to have what he asked for. He knew he didn't deserve anything. We can tell that from all of the writings that he left us to read. He didn't deserve what he was asking for. Wilt thou not? Was a fervent cry from this man of God. In Isaiah chapter 1, you remember the old prophet said in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been like Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. Yeah. Yeah. Isaiah's talking about grace. Yeah. We didn't deserve this. Right. We should have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, the psalmist, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Not because I've been such a great warrior, not because I've done anything. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Yes. Lord, wilt thou not Ezra chapter 9 and verse 8, the writer says, "And now for a little moment grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." Fervency. Grace. Yeah. Ezra had the same idea that Isaiah had. If we receive anything, Lord, it's got to come from you. We don't deserve it. We know that. And that has to be the confession of every child of God. Wilt thou not? Wilt thou not revive? Psalms 80 and verse 14. The psalmist cries out again with fervency and great desire and anticipation of his request being answered. And he said, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine." Verse 19, he said, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." That little phrase, "we shall be saved," is not talking about the original instance when the psalmist was saved.
Right.
He's not wanting to be saved again. No, that's an impossibility. It can't happen twice. No need in it happening twice. When God saves us, it's with an eternal salvation. And you can't do that twice. Ain't that wonderful? Yeah. Wilt thou not revive? This involves the restoration of divine fellowship. And if there are a few here tonight that don't need that, I'd be surprised. Maybe one that don't need that. But I'm telling you, God's people need it this hour.
Amen.
We need to be restored. We need the fellowship with God that we used to have. The psalmist in Psalms 51 and 8 says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He's praying to be restored. He had sinned mightily against God Almighty. He had sinned against His Savior. He had sinned against His Redeemer. And he was not in fellowship with God. He was out alone. He didn't like that. Brother, I don't either. I don't like being left alone by God. Now, there's lots of preachers don't need Him. They get up and make their big spiel. Hey, you don't have to die a pauper.
You can die rich.
You can be rich tomorrow. You know, it's easy. Yeah. It was easy for him, you know, because he's one of the biggest liars in the world. Yeah. A wolf in sheep's clothing, deceiving God's people, deceiving the world. Many goats follow after him, deceive, and they love it. They love being deceived. The old depraved man loves that. He loves being lied to. If he didn't, he wouldn't put up with it. We wouldn't have so many crooked politicians. If they didn't love being lied to. In Psalms 85 and 4, verse 4, the psalmist said, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, cause thine anger toward us to cease. Oh, Father, we don't want you to be angry with us anymore. Restore us like we used to be. When we walked together." Yeah. When we searched the Word of God and studied the Word of God. And they didn't have a whole lot of it like we do. No. They had little parchments and little pieces of parchment with a few scriptures written on them. "Wilt thou not restore us?" "Wilt thou not revive?" "Wilt thou not revive us?" Yeah. Who all do you think is included in this word "us"? Huh? You ever think about that? Who all is included here? I believe it's the people of God. For he says in verse 8, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." His people, his saints are the all here. Like he says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." Yeah. Realize that was addressed to the nation of Israel. Yeah. It wasn't addressed to the United States of America. It may not have an application to the United States of America at all. But it has application to God's people. Right. Little Baptist churches like this. That's who. "Turn," he said. "I'll hear you." Yeah. "Wilt thou not revive us?" The prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 3, and verse 12, says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord." That's us. The born again children of God. But you're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Holy nation. A people of his own, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from flesh and lust at war against the soul. And when we do that, we'll be in fellowship with God once again. We have to learn how to abstain from fleshly lust at war against the soul. Will thou not revive us again? When that word again hit me right between the eyes, I saw how great this passage of Scripture was. Again. What does that imply to you? What does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. It means it had happened before. Yeah. He had experienced that before. When fellowship with God was broken. And he felt the guilt and the weight of the sin and iniquity on his back and on his mind and heart. And God was far away, it seemed. But he wasn't. See, God ain't moved. God ain't the one needs restoring. Yeah. God never moved. It's been us. We're the ones whose love is so fickle, whose faith is so weak, who distrust him so much. It had happened before, my dear friend. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse 12. Well, let's go to verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. See, he's got it straight there. He's not wanting God to turn. He's wanting God to turn us. He said, turn us, O Lord, verse 21, unto thee, and we shall be turned. Remember what we said about God's will? He's confessing here that if we get turned, God, you're going to have to do it. We don't have the ability. We're so backslidden. We can't do anything except what you give us to do. Help us. Lord, we need help. Turn us unto thee, and we shall be turned. And that tells me if God don't do it, it's not going to get done. I don't care if it's the psalmist David, the prophet Jeremiah, or the apostle Paul. If God don't turn us, we will not get turned. Chapter 3. in verse 22, one of the great passages out of the book of Lamentation. It is because of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. See, Brother Smith, God knows what Semper Fi means. Yeah. God originated Semper Fidelis. Yeah. The Marine Corps just dreams about being faithful. I don't think they know what it's about anymore. No. Now you go back, when we went down today and walked around the museum for that ship down there in the Mississippi River, the Kid. And you see those old World War II veterans' pictures hung up there. Those Marine and Navy men, brother, they know what faithful was. They were faithful to what they had to do. God's always been faithful.
Right.
Never was a time when God wasn't faithful. He don't know how to be any other way than faithful. And He knows everything. Because His compassions fail not, they knew every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 31 says, the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under His feet all the prisoners of the earth. And in verse 40 He said, let us search. Let us search and test or try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in heaven. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. I bought me a new cap the other day. I got it out in the car, I think. Maybe at the hotel. But it's got the word rebel across the front of it. And some Confederate flags on it. And some folks don't think you ought to wear something like that in public, you know. And it's simply because there have never been taught the truth about the Civil War. But I like the hat, not just because of the Confederate emblem, the word rebel. It reminds me greatly of what God started with when He started on me.
That's right.
Yeah. And I got that reminder right there on my head.
Uh-huh.
And also reminds me when I get a little bit lifted up with pride, maybe. Y'all may not have that problem ever. I know you preachers don't. It reminds me of how much rebellion is still in my old wicked heart.
That's right.
And I can say with Job, behold, I'm gone. Yeah. Turn. Let us search in dry ways and turn again to the Lord. Will thou not revive us again? Lord, you've done it before. Surely you remember. You've never forgotten anything. I can remember when you did it the last time. Will you not do it again? Oh, dear Lord, help us to realize that we need to turn again unto the Lord. And then he says that thy people may rejoice in thee. That thy people may rejoice. Psalms 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Yeah. Uphold me with a willing spirit or with thy free spirit. And then when we get revived, what will happen? What did he say would happen when he got revived? When God restored him the joy of his salvation? Just read it. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit, then will I teach transgressors their ways. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. But you see, the evangelists got it just backwards. Like they do so often. They think they ought to get out and win all the sinners and get them together. And then tell them to go to the church of their choice. Yeah. It don't make no difference. We're all trying to get to the same place. No, sir. One thing I'm trying to do is serve God faithfully. Be an obedient son. A faithful servant. I'm not trying to get anywhere. I know where I'm going. I don't have to try to go there. That they may rejoice in thee. Yeah. The psalmist was wanting to get restored in that one of those other passages of scripture we read a while ago, so that the bones that God had broken could rejoice. Yeah. You know, you can rejoice in hard times. Yeah. You don't have to have everything in a bed of roses to rejoice in God. If you did, most of us would never see a day of rejoicing. We can rejoice when things are not going so good. Because the Bible tells me that a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry. Yeah. It disgusts me when preachers talk about God tarrying. When Jesus tarrying. If he tarries his coming, it makes me want to regurgitate. If you don't know what that word means, it makes puke. It makes me sick in my stomach. God's not up there waiting for everything to get just right. He's coming again. We can rejoice even in bad times. Turn with me, if you will,
right quick to Habakkuk chapter 3. Brother Jerry didn't put no time limit on me, so if you get sleepy, you can blame him. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stall. That sounds like the Great Depression in the United States in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Hard times. But what did he say? In the very next verse. Yes, in spite of that, in spite of those hard times, times of starvation, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. Yeah. Rejoice. But so much of the time, God's people come to the house of God, and just like old Brother Tom Ross said in one of his great sermons, he said, too many times God's people come to the house of God, they look like they've been drinking pickle juice. You ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. When you think about all the sinners out there that's not saved, you are. The privilege you have to come to the house of God. They don't. Yeah. We need to be rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Not money grubbing because God didn't answer our prayer yesterday or last night. Well, maybe God ain't through yet. Yeah. He ain't dead. But all too often, we look like it. We act like it. He ain't dead. He's still alive. He still loves His people. He will always love us, no matter what. Man, if you can't rejoice over that, oh, listen. We have so much to be thankful for. We have loved ones. First of all, we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. All our sins taken away. God said He hid them behind His back. Now, if you ever get behind God, you can find them. Yeah. God's not like your wife. You know. Sometimes our wives, you know, I don't have to remember my sins. Mama's got them all down in the bank up here. And she can draw them out at will. Thank God she don't do it all the time. God is forgotten. Can you imagine that? A sovereign, almighty, all-knowing God that can't remember something. I'm telling you, that's hard to get on to. He can't remember our sin. He said, that's what He said. I won't remember Him anymore. But the devil remembers Him. I remember Him. I bring Him up all the time. Lord. And I happen to think, wait a minute, I've already asked Him to forgive me that. Didn't I believe Him the first time? And then I'd say, Lord, restore unto me. Restore me. We must be out of fellowship if I can't think no clearer than that. How great God is to remind us. of how great He is. Restore us. Will Thou not revive us again? Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes to those dear brethren, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is indeed is not irksome, but for you it is safe. And then in chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always! Yeah. In good times, rejoice in the Lord. When you've been fed a great meal, like Brother Wesley and I have tonight, you can rejoice in the Lord. We was having a hard time yesterday finding something to satisfy our appetite. And why we wasn't rejoicing in the Lord, I don't know. We should have been. Yeah. We act like God had put us on the highway and forgot about us. Yeah. He might ought to put us out on Hungry Avenue for a few days.
That's right.
Make us appreciate Him. Psalms 16. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That'll make us rejoice. To know that in the very near future, maybe tomorrow, could be tonight, we could be rejoicing in His presence where there are pleasures forevermore. Forever and ever and ever. No sadness, tears, sorrow, hurting, crying, death, pain. At thy right hand are pleasure forevermore. We need to pray that God would help us. That we could confess our sins and our iniquity. That God would break our old heart like striking a rock with a hammer. Break it up like plowing fallow ground. Plow it up. Build a fire in there and melt it like wax. Lord, it's cold. Backslidden. Will Thou not revive us again? You've done it before, Lord. Will You just do it one more time? May God help us when we think about revival, that we go right back to the hand of God, to the will of God, and beg Him as the psalmist did. Wilt Thou not revive us again? You say, well, preacher, I'm not really that backslidden. Don't tell me I'm backslidden, you are. Tell the Lord. But you know, when you do that, you're going to have to be truthful. God, you know He knows already. Yeah, He knows already. Pray for us. If revival comes, and I hope and pray that it does. I don't care where it starts, as long as it comes around here. Yeah. And God fill us with the Spirit of God and draw us closer to Him than we've been since we got saved in the first place. Well, I can remember something about that kind of joy. I'd like to have it again. Yeah. I sure would. But I'm going to have to depend on Him to do it. Because I still got too much of Father Adam dragging around in these old boots to do it myself. Yeah. The will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Pray for us. We will continue praying for y'all. May God bless you and keep you and bring you back tomorrow night to worship with us again. Brother Jerry.
Everybody here believes in the sufficiency of God and the insufficiency of man. We agree with that. And I'm convinced that we all agree that if God doesn't make a difference in us, I'm talking about us as believers, we'll be the same. Wilt thou not revive us again? And if He doesn't revive me, I'm going to be just like I always have been. But you know, if God doesn't revive you, you'll be just like you've always been. God must make the difference. Then shall thy people rejoice in thee. Brother Joy, lead us in a time of invitation, would you please?
We're going to sing the first...